All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. It is, I always kind of hate it when it ends up being one person up here all night, especially because I know I've heard my voice recorded and it's not that awesome sometimes, all the time. So sorry, it's just me up tonight, but either way, we're thankful again that Pastor provided the opportunity to preach. A little bit different for sure, a little bit of Bible study, and I'll be honest with you, where this lesson and the study came from is sometimes even folks who hear the Bible regularly, sometimes we can be persuaded by other people's philosophy and things of that nature. And so tonight, it's the topic of angels and their role from the Bible. It isn't true that angels sit on clouds strumming their harps, eating Philadelphia cream cheese all day. That's not why God created them, for sure. And also, making sure that we have them in their proper place. And so the lesson is over angels tonight. And so it was a help to me because, as I mentioned, sometimes our philosophy is a little off, and it kind of stemmed from nobody here, but I read someone make a comment one time that they did have a family member pass away. They talked about now that they've gained their angel wings, they're now an angel, and I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, it's not biblical. And so we want our philosophy and our mindset to be biblical. That's it. That's where the authority comes from, not from your opinion, not my opinion. And I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but let's just look at what the Bible says tonight. So turn over to Psalm 148 as we start. Psalm 148. We do know, first of all, angels are not made up mythical creatures. All right? Greek mythology did not just be like, hey, we came up with this. No, not at all. And so we're going to answer a few questions as we go through the lesson tonight. And we want to start off by this. Where did angels come from? Where did angels come from? And that's found here in Psalm 148. Let's just begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Listen here, number 5, verse 5. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. So, where did angels come from? Number 1, God made them. All right? God made them. We would see over in John 1. Keep your Bibles handy and ready to roll that way tonight. Over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, a very familiar passage. But here as we talk about that the Lord made them. John chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we're reminded tonight that angels were created by God, that God made them. And we see, let's go ahead and turn over to Colossians as well. Colossians chapter 1. When you're turning to a lot of passages of Scripture sometimes, especially up here, you feel the pressure. And you're like, I don't remember where the book of Colossians is. But we found it. So it is in the Bible. Amen. But we did find it. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, listen, and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we need to be reminded that, first of all, that angels were created by God. God created them. Now, number two, a question that we're going to answer tonight, hopefully, is this. How many angels are there? All right, so let's look at that for a minute. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, verse 13. If you remember, Luke chapter 2 is the birth of the Savior. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. So here's a real awesome declarative word. That is a multitude. There's a multitude of them. How many is a multitude? Well, multiple. A multitude of them, all right? But let's look at also Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter number 26. This is during the crucifixion, Matthew 26. In verse 53. Let's read verse 52 to start us off. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? So we know, first of all, that there's at least 12 legions, right? I don't mean to be super simple, but at the same time, very biblical. So if he could call at least 12 legions of angels, we know that there was at least 12 legions of angels, and that would be between about 36,000 to 72,000. That's what about 12 legions would be. Let's look at Matthew 18. We're here close. Matthew chapter number 18. So we've seen that, and when it comes to how many there are, we've seen that the Bible says that there's a multitude. We see that there's at least 12 legions. Matthew 18. In verse number 10, the Bible says here, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So possibly, here we could see that possibly there's an angel for every person. What would we normally call that? Guardian angel, right? That's kind of the term that would be used many times. And that could be, that the possibility there is that there is possibly one for every person here. Now, when we think about there being lots of angels, that might bring up the wrong idea. So I want to be very clear. When we think about the multitude, there's legions of angels, there's possibly even one for every person. I do want to be clear that this is not how God is omnipresent, right? What we think is this, all right? Somebody is a regional manager, right? So a regional manager, they can only be in one spot at one time, right? So you know what they have? They have local managers, right? So the region all over this whole area, then at each place they have a manager, and maybe even an assistant manager under that. And what does a regional manager have to do? Well, they got to contact all the people that are under them. Hey, what's going on there? What's going on there? And this is not how God is omnipresent. God is everywhere because that's who He is. He does not say, oh, okay, well, there's some angels over here in Gillette, Wyoming. Go ahead, tell me, give me a report. That's not how it works, okay? So as we talk about there being possibly an angel for every person, I don't want us to get the idea that that is how God is omnipresent. And with angels reporting in everywhere, no. God is omnipresent because that is who He is. He is everywhere, okay? All right? So when we think about that, we need to be reminded that God Himself is omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. And it's not because all the little angels reporting back to Him. Okay? It's because that is who He is. But what we do find is that there's multitudes, there's legions, there's possibly billions, right? Because of, what are we at? Are we at 7 billion people on the planet now, closing in on 8, I believe? So possibly that. But what we do find from Revelation chapter 12 is that we're reminded that a third of the angels fell with Satan, right? So when Satan, when Lucifer, he was an angel. We'll see that in a minute, that he was actually a cherub. He was an angel, and he rebelled against God, and he took a third of the angels with him. Now, why are you bringing that up? Here's why. Because while we don't specifically know the exact number, we do know that God knows the exact number. If a third of them, that means that it's a fixed number. Why? Right? Well, because Matthew 22 and verse 30 reminds us that angels do not procreate. They don't make more angels, okay? Which that's where I was headed with, is the fact that it reminds us then that when a person does pass away from this life, they don't go to heaven to become an angel. There's already a set number of angels, and there's not going to be any more or any less. All right, so that's where we're headed with it. So while the number for us is not known, we know that God knows the exact number. Now, there is even the possibility that's the same number as the stars, which would be, anybody count the stars recently? Exactly. Only God knows that number, right, for sure. But either way, we know that there are only a set amount of angels, and that is it. Now, as we think about that, we think that we know from the Bible that there are different kinds of angels. In the book of Ezekiel and also in Genesis 3, if you'd just be reminded with me, when Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the garden and God kicked them out of the garden, there was a flaming cherub that guarded the garden, if you remember, that God set to protect the garden there. And because Adam and Eve were not allowed to go back in there. So we see that, first of all, that there are cherubims. And what they are proclaimers, or they're protectors of God's presence. If you think about that, that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. And so the cherubims, they are proclaimers or protectors of God's presence. Again, we see that the flaming cherub in Genesis 3. We also see the cherubim, if you remember, in the tabernacle. Pastor went through that. And if you remember there on the altar, that there's the cherubim that is there. We also see cherubims in Ezekiel, which is where we find that Lucifer was a cherubim when he was created. When he was created, he was a cherubim. Now, I know I don't want us to get just so caught in the details, but want us to learn from God's word for sure about angels. And so we think about that Lucifer was a cherub in Ezekiel. We find that. Then we also see another kind, and you'll find this in Isaiah. And we'll just go ahead and look there. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 6. If you remember, this is where we see a picture of the throne room of God. And we see that here in Isaiah 6 and verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So what we see is that these angels that are called seraphims, these are six-winged angels that are at the throne of God. And as we see, it specifically said with two wings, they covered their eyes, kind of reminding us for sure that they couldn't even bear the full glory of God as they were even covering their eyes with two wings. They covered their feet, which would be a sign of humility, that they were humble in the presence of the Lord. And then with two, they flew, and that was just to be ready to do God's business. Whatever God would command, those seraphims that are there around the throne room of God are prepared and ready to do whatever God would ask them to do. So we see that there's angels that are cherubims. We see seraphims. And then what we would find is also that there are what we would consider regular angels as well. All right? Throughout Revelation, we see these angels that they're pouring out the judgments that will come to pass in the future. We see some of them appearing through the Old Testament. Do you remember the angel that appeared before Balaam and Balaam's donkey? You remember that as he's going, he's riding his donkey, going to try and curse Israel, right? And the donkey stops and it crushes his foot against the wall, and Balaam's literally just beating his donkey, trying to get it to go, and it won't go. And that's because the donkey itself sees an angel standing. You remember the story, right? And he sees the angel standing there, and Balaam doesn't see it yet, but God opens his eyes that he could see the angel standing there and know, oh, okay, God is not for me cursing Israel for sure. And so we see an angel appear there. Do you remember that the angels also appeared to Lot, to deliver Lot and his family, that there they came and they knocked on the door of Lot, and while a very interesting story, a very sad story takes place there in Lot and his life being there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was God delivering them before the judgment was coming. Remember that? That God always delivers his people before judgment. That's what happened to Noah and the ark. Before the judgment came, God delivered his people, Noah and his family. And we also see there as Lot that he delivered his people before the judgment. If you remember a couple other appearings of angels, if you'll just think in your mind with me for a moment, that an angel appeared to Mary, right? Hey, don't be afraid, for that which has been conceived is of the Holy Spirit, telling her, hey, Jesus, that she is going to be the one to birth the Savior, right? So we see that an angel appeared to Mary. We read it already this evening, angels appeared to the shepherds. Right? While the shepherds were abiding in their fields, you know, and you can think of every Christmas program that you've been a part of, right? And you have the little group of angels that are there as well, because they did appear to Mary, to the shepherds. If you also remember the disciples, remember when Jesus ascended up into heaven, that the disciples were standing there and they're saying, what do we do now, right? And an angel appeared unto them and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? As he went, I'm paraphrasing now, as he went, so he'll come again. So get busy doing what he told you to do, right? And it was an angel there. We also see that when Jesus was buried, and after he arose, remember that the angel appeared to Mary there in the garden? And so these are the angels that would be kind of considered regular angels. But we also see specific leaders over the angels. If you remember in Jude chapter, there's not a Jude chapter 9, so don't try and turn there. But there's a Jude verse 9, and it would tell us about Michael, the archangel. You've heard that before. No, it's not John Travolta. All right? Just remember that. All right? That's not biblical. Okay, all right. I was hoping that joke would go over a little better than it did. But either way, it went over like a lead balloon. So, Michael, an archangel. And so we see him through the Bible would be that he stands for God's people Israel and opposes God's enemies. We see that. Another special messenger, who would it be? Gabriel. Remember, we've heard of the angel Gabriel. We see that he appears as a messenger to Daniel, to Zacharias, that's right, and Mary. That Gabriel is delivering message from the Lord. Now, I know that we've kind of gone through a lot of different things, and it might feel like a shotgun came at you for sure out of nowhere. But a few things that we really need to make sure that we learn when it comes to angels, right? So number one, let's turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13, I've titled this point here, this, A Final Thoughts on Angels. And number one, we see this, and we're reminded from Hebrews 13, that angels can appear as humans, and it's possible to interact with angels. I'm not trying to be all weird and sci-fi, I'm just trying to be biblical here. Hebrews 13, the Bible says, Let brotherly love continue. Here it is, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Right? Reminds us that we need to be careful of how we treat people in general. Right? Because some have entertained angels unawares. We also see this. Let's turn to 1 Peter, just a few pages over. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Something that's very interesting that isn't usually brought up when the issue of angels comes up is this. Many times we look at it this way, right? There's God, there's angels, there's people somewhere down here, right? That's kind of the order that we would think in our minds, okay? Angels are created beings by God, but I want you to understand this, that many times we stand in marvel of angels. And there's a place for some of that. But what's very interesting is that we find this, that angels more marvel at salvation. You see, angels cannot be redeemed. The angels that fell with Satan, that followed him, there's no opportunity for them to be saved. And that's what hell was created for, was for Satan and his angels that followed him. And there isn't a place of salvation for angels. But what we do see in 1 Peter chapter number 1, let's begin reading in verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Listen, which things the angels desire to look into. You know what the angels do? They marvel at the fact that humans, because of God's love, can be redeemed. That they can be saved. That when it comes to salvation, and that people can accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and be justified, be redeemed, that they could be saved. Here's what the angels do. They desire to look at that. What an interesting thing. Many times we're like, wow, angel, wow, whoa, wow, that's amazing, that's awesome. Wow, okay, that's cool. But here's angels' outlook. Wow, this person over here learned of the gospel. Got saved. The angels marvel. They look at that and say, wow, that's incredible. Doesn't that kind of change our mentality when it comes to angels? That when, wow, look at that. That's awesome. When the truth is, they're like, wow, look at they get saved. What an interesting idea and what an interesting fact that angels marvel and they would desire to look into this idea of salvation that is available to all humankind. Angels are amazed by salvation. We see this also in Hebrews 2. We would find in Hebrews 2 that we would find that angels cannot be saved. That those who have stayed following the Lord and as servants of Him, they'll enjoy the benefits of being created by God and following God. But then the angels that did rebel against God and went with Satan have no opportunity to be redeemed, to be saved. We see this also. Listen, this is very important. Let's turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, some final thoughts here that angels can appear as humans and it's possible to interact with them. So we got to make sure we're interacting with people properly as God would have us to. Also, we see that angels marvel at the idea of salvation. But this is, I would say, one of the most important points that we need to be reminded of. Revelation 22, verse number 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Here it is. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of an angel which showed me these things. Okay, but what happened? Verse number 9, very important. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. Something that we need to be reminded of is this, that angels are not to be worshipped. Not to be worshipped. Every time, this is one time that as the angel was there with John as he's writing the book of Revelation and God is showing him all sorts of things to write down as God would have him to. We see that an angel was escorting him through the book of Revelation, and a couple times he would say, wow, I can't even imagine this, and kind of try to start to bow down to the angel, and the angel said, no, get up. No, you don't worship me. We only worship God. Only worship God. Now, I do want to say that we can wonder at them, and it is an interesting creature that God created. Sure, we can respect their persons and who God made them to be. We can respect that. We can appreciate their ministry, right? Remember, some were messengers of the Lord. Some were deliverers. God used them in many different ways through the Bible. And so we can appreciate their ministry. And here's what we can admire is their example. You know what the angels do? Here it is, real big and deep. Whatever God tells them. The two-thirds that are following God, here's what they do. God says, I'm just going to make something up. God says, hey, I want you to go over here and I want you to be a help to this person or protect them in spiritual battle. And the angel says this. Here's what they say. Yes, sir. That's it. That's what angels do. They do God's bidding. How does it all work? I'm not here to tell you I know. But I am here to tell you that what we can admire is their example, that whatever God says, wherever He leads, they follow. Whatever He says do, they do. And that should be what we admire. Hey, wow, I mean, it is an amazing creature that God made angels, and it is amazing that God made them, but what we should admire the most and what we should take is as an example is that's how we should serve the Lord. But whatever He says, yes, sir, that's what we're going to do. And many times, I'll be honest with you, that's sometimes the hard part of Christianity. But let's just take it as an example. That God says, angels, Gabriel, Michael, that's what I want you to do. Yes, sir. That's how we should live our life. So we can respect the person that God made them. And we can appreciate their ministry, but admire their example and desire to be that, a servant of God. Right here in our scripture, remember what he said? A fellow servant. Maybe sometime we should have a week or something. We should talk about being a fellow servant. Oh, we did. Gotcha. All right. But truly, they're just a fellow servant. So our mindset needs to be of that. Not that it's like, wow, I understand. Some people like to go in Oklahoma where we live close by. There's a lot of the Cherokee trading posts, right? I don't know. We have those in that area. And you go there, and there's all these sections of all these collectible little angels and glass and all sorts. Okay, right? But our mindset needs to be biblical. Now we say this. Angels, that is amazing, and we admire what God has them to do, but we just need to be reminded, hey, they're just a created servant of the Lord, and they're just doing whatever the Lord wants them to do, and that's how we should be as well, right? Angels are the creature, not the creator. We can't bow down and worship angels. It is unbiblical for us to have a worship-type mentality to angels. And then lastly, here's one of my favorite things, all right? Luke chapter number 21. I told you that when it comes down to it, that angels do whatever God wants them to do, how that all exactly works. I'm not here to tell you I know exactly every in and out detail. But I do know that God uses them, they are His servants, and that God will use them in a great mighty way, but that they are just servants. But here's one of my favorite parts. I always try to be reminded of this. Luke 21 in verse 25. The Bible says this, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Now, you say, how does that have anything to do with angels? Here's how it does. When God comes to retrieve His people, what we term as the rapture, as I mentioned, angels are servants of the Lord, and that whatever God wants them to do, they do. But here's a little just something fun. That is this, that when Jesus comes back to get us, He's not sending angels to get us. He's coming Himself. And it is. It's a wonderful idea. And we can, again, we can think about the fact that, yeah, God created angels and they are servants of the Lord. But we need to have a biblical mindset. That is this. Sure. God made a lot of wonderful things, right? Here we are. I say we're, and I've never lived somewhere with so much beauty so close, right? Go right over here, the bighorns. You see them. Go on. I said this to the teens on Sunday. You know what must have been a real bummer for the pioneers? Is when they got to the top of the bighorns, and they're like, oh man, we're almost done with this. And they look that way to the west, and they say, ah, bummer. More mountains coming up, right? I mean, literally, you go to the top of the Bighorns, you look over there, and you see, wow, look at the mountains, even farther, more of them, right? You go right over here to the Black Hills, and you see the majesty of those things, and it's wonderful. You go, I mean, really, I like the beauty of even Gillette, the rolling plains, and it's got its own beauty and things of that nature, and all of it was created by God. When we go to the mountains, and when we go out here, and we appreciate God's creation, and we stop and say, God, this is just some of the wonderful art that You've created. Wow. That shouldn't make us say, wow, I'm going to worship the trees. You missed it. Man, you missed it. Why? God, if You could create these mountains, yet You're so interested in the very details of my life, that doesn't make me want to worship the mountains. It makes me want to worship the Creator who made them. That's how it should be. But also, let's have that mindset when it comes to angels as well. Yeah, they're created beings, and it's kind of fun. Wow, seraphims, cherubims, and archangels, and all these, man, what? And even spiritual warfare that's going on that maybe even like Balaam experienced. We don't even see it taking place. And I tell you, sometimes my mom said that I wore my, you know, guardian angel out many a times, right? I'm sure we all have at times. And how that all works, I just want us to make sure that our mindset is biblical, that when we think of this idea of angels, we stop and we say, what a great God that He would create servants that would just be there to do His bidding, that whatever He needs, whatever He wants to do, they're ready and willing to do. God, help me be a servant like that as well. And so I know, I'm sure it's a little bit different for sure, but as we just look into God's Word and get a biblical idea of angels, it just always whatever page you open the Bible to, here's what it points to. It points to the Savior. It points to God Himself. So our mindset on angels should be biblical. Hey, they're a created being, and they're neat. Very neat. Nowhere close to God who made them. And remember, when He comes, He's not sending an angel. Oh, His angel, He's going to have an angel blow the trumpet, right? Whatever it is, right? The trump's going to sound. He's not sending an angel. He's not sending a cherubim. He's not sending a seraphim. He's not sending an archangel. He's coming Himself to get you and I. Make sure that we're ready. Lord, thank You so much for Your many blessings to us. And I pray that You'd help us. I just pray it'd be a little help in a Bible study, that we learn about angels. And yes, God, You created them, God, and they are servants of You. God, I pray that You'd help us to be reminded, even when it comes to salvation, God, the very fact that You sent Your Son to die on the cross, to pay for our sin, God, that we could be saved. God, help us to be reminded that even the angels stop and marvel at that. I pray that You'd help us to marvel at the wonderful love that You've shown to us. As Your word says, in that while we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. I pray that You'd help us. Help us to have a biblical mindset of angels. Help us to be servants, as those angels that follow You are. God, that they're just there to do Your bidding, whatever You say at any moment. Help us to be like that as well. God, we thank You so much for all that You've done. God, we see that Your creation is so amazing. God, that we can't even fathom it all. But yet it all points to You. Help us to always worship You, Creator, to never worship the creature. Now we thank You for it. In Jesus' name.